Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome.
Yo, how is life in the Andrea Gray household and camp?
It's a little quiet.
Quiet? Quiet's good?
Quiet's good.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a peaceful time.
Peace is good.
I was away.
Yes. Oh, that's why. Were you away solo?
So it was what I would call the perfect work-life integration week.
Okay, I like that.
Client happens to also be a friend, told me it's not about work-life balance, it's about work-life integration. Mm-hmm. So I got one-on-one time with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I got a day or two by myself.
Hey.
Got a couple of days with the husband.
Okay.
And then the three of us all drove back together.
That's cool. So you were down in Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Down in the Hampton Roads area.
Big shout.
Having a good time.
Big shout. Cool. It's been hot as heck.
All over.
Man, it's been hot. In our dry cleaners, we had two pipes burst in the past week.
Oh, dang.
One was a sprinkler. The other was a sink that just fell off the wall. And so we've been dealing with all kinds of heat related.
Sink just quit.
Just couldn't do it anymore.
It's too hot.
Big water damage too, by the way.
Yikes.
But that's what insurance is for.
Yeah. But it's disruptive. Tornadoes, all that stuff.
And we got good insurance, thanks to my homegirl, Sylvia.
That's
Austin.
Right. That's right.
We've got even business interruption insurance, so we had to close down for a little bit.
Mm.
They're going to pay us out for the money we lost. I'm like, hey, now.
That's how that's supposed
come on,
to work.
Coverage. Come through. So, were you impacted by this Microsoft thing this week?
Yes, but not as severely as others.
What was the impact to you? How did you even know it was going on?
I woke up to the news. Because I fell asleep with the news on, which I don't like. But, you know, there's a reason to be paying attention to what's happening. I was watching the closing. I was about to say the closing service. Lord, have mercy.
Mm.
The closing of the RNC.
Oh, okay.
And you're the TV was on.
You're a big Republican.
I woke up to the news.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh.
I just called you a big Republican. And I know that's not the case.
I'm not even paying. Funny. I didn't even honor that with a response.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching because this has been a crazy
week. So you watch the news, you see what's going on. But did it impact your work life in any way? Did you try to do something and couldn't get it done?
Some things were delayed.
Okay.
And there were some things that I had done that I couldn't access.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it wasn't terribly disruptive.
Yeah. Good. Unlike the rest of the world,
there
was some calamity that happened this week. All because of Microsoft. And what's crazy, like, I told y'all I ain't like Microsoft. Y'all remember that?
You did.
I did. Because I was like,
this is all your fault.
I said, Microsoft is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. No one likes it. They just have to use it.
Sorry, you slid that big word in there. That's the word of the week.
You know.
I'm going to recap every episode with your word of the week.
But yeah, so like people use Microsoft because they have to, not because they want to, in my opinion. And Microsoft is constantly forcing itself on you in so many different ways. And I'm actually a Microsoft shareholder, by the way. And I'm a shareholder because I know how ubiquitous the company is.
And we use it.
Yeah. Oh, we use it.
Founding partner.
Yeah. No, we definitely use it.
Yeah.
Begrudgingly.
Mm.
That could be a second word of the day. So yeah, this thing happened and it was bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
My first thought was cyber attack, because that's the headspace I was in. And I was like, God, what else?
So, yeah, so what happened was there was a big, not a cyber attack, but an IT, what would you call it?
Disruption.
Mm-hmm. That caused a lot of businesses to go offline. And what's funny is both companies are blaming each other. Microsoft's blaming CrowdStrike. CrowdStrike's blaming Microsoft. But in the wake of this, there's...
Shareholder.
Oh, you own CrowdStrike? Okay.
For sure.
So you didn't tell me about that one.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not a happy day to be a CrowdStrike shareholder.
It depends on when you bought it.
That's a fact.
So that was one of the things that was disrupted or delayed. Because now I'm like, I buy for clients what I buy for myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, do I need to sell? Where do we get in? Do we take some profits? Do we hold on to it? Do we sell half of it? But anyway, that's a different conversation.
You can't even trade. Like, it's just computer's not working right.
That was an issue. But it slid 11% today.
Yeah. So
At the time of this recording.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff went wrong because of a single point of failure.
Yeah. You know,
one thing went wrong and it caused a whole bunch of calamity. And what's crazy about this is I was just having dinner with a client, and one of my favorite clients, and she was telling me, like, look, I'm getting divorced. And I'm like, really? Like, I'm really surprised to hear that. They mm-hmm. seem to have a really good relationship in the what I'm going to say, the observable senses. Like, they seem to get along well. Mm-hmm. They seem to treat each other well publicly. I'm like, what's going on? And she described just not feeling safe. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't feel safe? Like, he's not letting you, you know what I mean, get, you know, abused in the street.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, like, financially, like, strategy-wise. Like, and I was like, tell me more. Because I have not heard that as a source of a divorce. I've heard of finances. I've heard of a number of things, but not feeling safe. And she went on to say that, like, her parents died at a young age. Like, she was raised by grandparents, and those grandparents are no longer here. And she's had to really fend for herself in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got married, she wanted a partner to help keep her safe with money, with planning for the future. And that was enough to tear them apart.
Yep.
It's not feeling that safety. And so it reminds me of what happened with this Microsoft thing, because people weren't safe. If you were a pilot looking to take off a plane and your systems on your computer screen weren't working, if you were a surgeon scheduled to go into surgery and your systems wouldn't allow you to pull the right, I don't know, devices.
It's the patient I'm worried about.
Yeah.
That's who's not feeling safe. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
So we're going to talk today about single points of failure. What can we learn from this? Like, what are some ways that we can make sure we don't have these in our financial lives or our lives in general?
Mm-hmm.
Because your bills don't care if you don't have access to your money.
That's right.
Like, there's no excuse.
It's like, you got 30 days to pay. Like, so just because there was a problem one day,
yeah,
you don't get a pass.
Or like your kids might be hungry, or there might be a tuition bill due. And like, if you can't access something because you got to check it into savings, and how Kevin Hart described it, you're short. So we're going to talk about this. Let's go into Microsoft a little bit more deeply. So early Friday morning in Australia, people started seeing the blue screen of death. That's when Microsoft crashes and has to reboot.
Mm.
There were disruptions globally. It went from Australia to the UK to India to Germany to the Netherlands. Airlines were grounded. Like, airlines were so widely affected that I saw a stat a few minutes ago that said today only 23% of flights were on time all day.
Yeah.
Because of Microsoft.
Right. No, seriously. When I woke up to the news and they were interviewing folks in the airport, and it was most of the passengers didn't even know what happened. They just knew there were long lines and they couldn't check in.
Yeah. Other things that happened. 911 wasn't working in multiple states.
Yeah, so
that's crazy.
In the morning, though, I was hearing that that wasn't impacted. But, of course, as the day went on.
Yeah, some states. I know Alaska was one.
Mm.
You know, they're already cold out there, disparate, far apart.
Yeah.
And 911 wasn't working.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Hospitals in Germany had to cancel a bunch of procedures, and Britain and the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Kaiser Permanente, they have 12.6 million members, and they said that their hospital systems were affected, and they had to use backup systems to care for their patients.
Medical professionals couldn't access patient records.
Yeah. Sometimes I will say, I've been a customer, and they're like, the computers are down. I'm like, y'all make sandwiches. Like, y'all can't just grab the bread. The meat's right there. I got cash. Like, I see the prices.
You can't figure out the change.
I can tell you what the tax is. Like,
right.
You can't just put the sandwich on. Like, you can't take the bread, put it on the meat. Like,
yeah.
Hand it to me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll act like it never happened. Like, I'll give you the cash. We're good.
unbelievable what you find in certain service retail locations.
Yeah, this is like, remember Y2K? Remember folks are worried about Y2K?
I do.
Young folks don't know about that. But there was a fear that in the coming of the new, what is it, the current, what's this called, century that we're in? We went from 1999 to 2000, that computers were going to... That computers were just going to break because they weren't built for this.
Yep.
And folks were like panicking, worried.
I was a little nervous. Yeah. I can't lie.
I'm sure you were.
A little bit.
Yeah. I remember like opening one eye like, we okay?
Yeah. Just waiting for a big boom or something to happen or things to just stop.
Planes fall out of the sky.
It was a little scary.
And 24 years later, it happened. Not planes falling out the sky.
No.
But we had Y2-24.
Okay.
That happened this week. So other stuff that happened, JPMorgan Chase said that they couldn't process trades because their bankers couldn't log into their systems. So if you did a trade, it might not have gotten booked properly. TD Bank said people couldn't access their online accounts. Like, now this is where, like, going to hurt somebody. Like, hey, I need to go put some gas in my car. Let me grab my TD Bank debit card.
Real talk. I told you I woke up to this news.
Yeah.
Fell asleep. I wear contact lenses. Contact lenses literally stuck to my eyeballs. Mm. I whipped out my phone, checked to see if I could log into my bank accounts and make sure whatever money was supposed to be there was there.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay.
Second thing I did was go find my laptop to see if I had the blue screen of death or not. I did not. So okay. I was like, okay.
Okay.
Third thing, looked at my calendar to see what meetings I had lined up and was like, I'm glad I did all of that yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I knew the kind of day I was going to have.
Good. Now, did you feel...
But then stuff started happening.
Did you at all feel disappointed? Like, all these important people, their computers aren't working, but mine is straight. Like, I'm not important enough for the outage to impact me?
No, not at all.
Okay, good. No. Good.
I just felt like it was still early and things were still going to happen.
Yeah.
Possibly.
So the government's gotten involved. Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri said that we got to get answers on this. This is a national emergency. This is a point of national security.
That's fair.
He went on to say that a single point of failure in cybersecurity strategy has proven time and time again to be a threat to our national security. Mm. And I agree. So on that point, let's talk about what is a single point of failure, and then let's get into how it impacts us as individuals.
Spoffs.
I wasn't going to do it. I promise I wasn't going to do it.
But you thought about it.
I did.
That's why you laughed.
I did. So what's a single point of failure?
It's basically a weak link in a system.
Okay.
And if that link breaks, the whole system goes down.
Mm.
There's bad news for anything that needs to be reliable. Computers, businesses, anything that is just really important. If it breaks just because there's one little crack, then it's literally a single point of failure.
All right. Break it down. Give me an analogy. Like, break it down a little further. The words sound good. But give me an analogy.
So think about like a bridge.
Okay.
That only has one lane.
Ooh.
So if that lane gets blocked, a car gets stalled or something, all the traffic stops. Nobody moves. No one's going anywhere. Versus at least if there's a lane, at least in each direction, then you can maneuver things so that traffic can still flow.
Might slow down.
Might slow down.
But you can still
get it. Might stop even temporarily while you, you know. So.
Yeah. So it's
But I guess the bridge itself is not the single point of failure.
The one lane is.
The one lane is. Yeah.
So it's not having a backup plan.
Not having a backup plan. There's no other option.
Sometimes mom feels like a single point of failure in the Gray household, I'm sure.
True that. True that. It happened just today. I'm like, the same things that I have to do to get an answer to this are the same things that you are capable of doing, people.
But we want you to do this for us. Can you tell us what time the mall closes?
I'm like, ask Siri. Ask Alexa.
Yeah.
Ask Google. Mm-hmm. You can figure it out. The same things that I'm going to have to do to get the answer, you are capable of doing.
On that note, my mom was super focused on making sure that her boys knew how to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she did not want us relying on a woman to take care of us. That was my mom. That's her language. I'm quoting my 70-plus-year-old black mama.
Love that as a mom. But more often I hear about dads or parents telling their daughters not to have to be reliant on someone else to take care of them.
And my dad said, look, you need to make enough money where you're not relying on your wife's income.
Okay.
And he has three sons, two of whom our wives don't work. And it was just how we were raised.
Yeah.
Like that single point of failure. So like I've always looked at my wife's ability to earn as sort of a backup plan if things got really, really bad. But like thankfully we haven't had to go there. So
this that is wonderful.
Parenting. So how do you avoid single points of failure in general? And this is like
hold on though.
Oh, go ahead.
We're not finished with that conversation.
Okay.
Are you raising your children the same way?
I haven't gotten there yet. I try to make sure my kids know how to do stuff, but I will say it's not equal all the time. Like I've taught my sons different things than I've taught my daughter, but I've taught them a lot of things that I think they need to survive.
That's fair. I'm all about independence and self-sufficiency, and that's more about me possibly not being available to help them. I never really thought about it in the context of a spouse or a partner. It was just more of, you just need to know how to do this because I'm not going to do this for you forever.
Yeah, my kids all know how to cook. Like, everything I can cook, for the most part, my kids know how to cook.
Okay.
They know how to clean. They know how to put furniture together. Like, you know, like handy, regular stuff. Like, I don't know how to fix cars, so none of them know how to fix cars.
Change a tire.
I have not yet taught them how to change a tire.
Like,
but
my
I will.
Dad taught me how to change a tire, but I've never done it. So I feel like if I had to do it, I might be stuck.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Just curious.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Good point. You don't want your kids to have a single point of failure that makes them require some bad relationship to get it done. That's the parenting advice. So how do you avoid a single point of failure in general? This is like general stuff that's from like the textbook that businesses use when they're making sure that their businesses don't fail. And clearly Microsoft and CrowdStrike did not.
Contingency planning.
Yeah, word. So number one is redundancy, having a backup, especially for those most critical things. And that way, if one thing fails, then the other one can take over.
Mm-hmm.
What's the backup plan?
Gotta have one.
And when you don't have like rich parents to fall back on, parents at all because they're gone.
Yeah.
A spouse that's good with money, like you might need to be the one putting the backup plan in place.
A solo entrepreneur?
Word. A lot of our listeners, a lot of our clients are Generation One, meaning the first generation in the history of their families to ever have the opportunity to really build material wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's the case, there's no rich uncle to rely on.
Right.
There's no rich daddy, hey, can I borrow? And so we've got to be our redundancy backup plan,
that's it.
If you will. And we'll get into that on the financial stuff. Diversity, not putting all your eggs in one basket.
That's right.
Not overly relying on a single supplier or service provider, because if they go down, then they can bring you down.
Let me tell you something. You know, I already told you how serious I am about my hair.
Yeah.
I got multiple options.
Okay.
Because if the stylist that I booked with calls out sick, I gotta have a plan.
Yeah, you can't be out here looking crazy.
You can't be out here crazy.
Let me explain. Such and such couldn't get me in, so you're gonna have to deal with this. Yeah, nah.
I need multiple options in multiple locations.
Yeah.
Who can do multiple things.
Word.
We can change the plan, but sometimes I gotta change where I'm going.
So going back to parenting, one thing my dad always said, excuses only satisfy the one that's making them. So if your hair is looking crazy, like you can explain to everybody why your hair looks crazy. Just like if you ever have people come over to a house and someone's like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't. It looks messy. Like the excuse doesn't make it not look messy. Like,
correct.
Yeah.
So, okay. Real talk.
Yeah.
The last pictures that we took as a firm.
Okay.
I hated my hair that day.
Aww.
Hated it.
We gotta take more.
I had hair. I knew where we were going.
Yeah.
I had an appointment. We traveled on a Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of salons in this area aren't open anymore on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Wow.
So I had an appointment on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Chick got sick or something happened where they weren't available.
Yeah.
I had nobody to do my hair.
Wow.
So here we are going to Miami.
Yeah.
For this retreat.
And where I'm it's like, humid.
Yeah. And I'm like, what day and time are we taking pictures? Because I might be on a later flight. Yeah. It's like, nope, couldn't do it.
Well, the wig you picked was nice. I liked it.
I did not wear a wig on that day. But funny thing is, we're using that picture now for the podcast.
Oh!
That was that hair situation.
It looks good, though.
Okay. Anyway, I think it
looks good. All right. So other things. So diversification, diversity, not putting your eggs in one basket, processes and training. So having systems where the people understand workarounds.
Yes.
You need to understand workarounds.
Cashier, you need to know how to do simple math.
Oh, yes.
If the register is not doing the math for you.
The other day, this comedian was like, you want to make a cashier have a complete meltdown?
Let's say
your bill is $17.76 and you give them a 20 and a penny.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already pushed the button. Like, they won't know what to do.
They will not know that they just need to give you a quarter.
Yeah.
They won't do it.
They won't know.
They won't know.
Well, hopefully $2 and a quarter.
Well, yeah. But I mean, that's the part that they'll struggle with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Facts. And then finally, in the military, they call it PACE. PACE is primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency. So
that
for example.
That sounds like a backup to the backup to the backup.
Yeah. It's like wearing a belt and suspenders at the same time.
Okay.
And also making sure your pants are fitted.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of a fourth one because there's four of them.
Right.
And sitting down at all times. Your pants are definitely not going to fall. But an example of PACE, imagine you're giving a presentation at a conference and you've got the presentation on your laptop. You intend to hook it up to the projector.
We don't have to imagine. We've lived this.
Yes. But you also have the presentation on a USB drive just in case the connectivity is not there.
Facts.
You also have as a contingency the presentation on Dropbox or in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, your emergency plan is like, look, I got to know my slides because if none of this works, I still have to give the presentation.
Real talk.
So we're talking about SPOFs, single point.
We're not gonna call it that.
Yeah. We'll just say we're talking about single points of failure.
Yep.
And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about personal finances and how to make sure that these things don't throw you off.
Catastrophic.
Yeah.
We want to avoid that.
Absolutely. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We are back.
We here. We back. No, real talk. I don't know what to respond with when we're back. Like when you say we're back, I'm like, yeah.
That's a good one.
We're back.
We here. We back. We here. We back.
Our grammar. I didn't hear it that way.
It sucks. It sounds like a cheerleader type of thing. Like, you were never a cheerleader, were you?
I don't think you can count fifth and sixth grade.
Yeah.
No, you weren't cheering for a team. It was just like
cheering
little,
for a
little sassy grams, you know. Your mama said you ugly. No. It wasn't quite that, but yeah, it was just playground, organized chants and dances.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
No right. pom-poms, no uniform, just
yeah,
clapping and stepping and
yeah,
doing stuff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We know you're an athlete, so, but there's no cheerleading for track and field. Like
it's just people yelling to run faster.
Go! Thanks.
Catch
him. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I like, know. Catch her. Don't yeah. let her walk you down.
Okay. Yeah, I was saving all my energy for you to yell, go. Go faster. Thank you right, for that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So in personal finance, our lives are made up of a series of interacting networks and systems.
Yeah.
We're talking about banks, financial institutions in general.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about credit card providers, debit card providers. I mean, there's a lot of different moving parts that could leave you in a tight spot. And there's a lot of problems that can arise if you don't have some contingency plans in place, like the PACE system, which was primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency. So let's first talk about payment systems. First question I have to you, the listener, and actually I'll ask you, Andrea, how many banks are you doing business with right now?
Three.
Okay. Explain.
So there's my primary credit union.
Okay.
Right. That's where I'm anchored. Because it's a credit union, I like to have access to a branch if mm-hmm. I ever need to physically go somewhere okay. or find an ATM. Mm-hmm. So I have a major bank
mm-hmm.
that I bank with. And then the third, I'm counting my mortgage lender. But okay. I don't have any other accounts there. So I at least have those three.
Okay.
But if you start talking about credit card issuers.
What was the third? You said your credit union, your mm-hmm. mortgage lender, and then what was the third? Your investment?
Just another bank, okay. another retail bank where I can, there's a bigger branch network so okay. I can get to a location if good. I have to.
That's good.
Yeah. Because credit unions, they don't have branches all over.
So when you look in your wallet, how many different logos, payment processing logos do you see? Visa, MasterCard, Amex, you have all those in your wallet?
No MasterCard.
Mm.
But yep. Those
so
are
if
there.
Visa goes down and you need to pay for something, then?
Amex.
Okay, good. But that's an example of having a backup plan.
I keeps cash.
And then cash.
But you know what? I keep cash in different places. I don't even keep all my cash in one place.
Yeah.
For that very reason. Because before she all these
keeps
options.
Cash. She keeps cash in different stashes. Stashes. She keeps cash. I'm going to keep going until
no,
you stop me.
But why does this sound like?
I got
yes. okay. So I'm like, am I making this up? Or is he literally using
yeah.
the mm-hmm. melody to
yes.
come up with this? Anyway.
You got to do it. You got to have different banks that you're doing business with. I mean, examples. One is if the payment systems are down. But yeah. the other is like, what if you need a loan? I'll tell you, when it was time for PPP loans.
Mm-hmm.
Going to a bank that you've never dealt with before and saying, hey, I would like to get one of these things.
Wasn't happening.
Very difficult.
Yep.
Most people went to the banks where they do business. And what if your bank happened to not do it well?
Right.
So I'm thankful. Like I have multiple banking relationships mm-hmm. because there's business accounts. There's personal accounts. Mm-hmm. There's multiple businesses. And so when yeah. PPP came out, like I had several different options that I could go to.
Yeah.
Same thing if you were getting a mortgage, like you want to be able to go, like you've got a third-party mortgage company, but your credit union, I'm sure, if you needed to get a car loan, like you've got the option to be able to talk
absolutely.
To them about a loan when you've got an account with them.
Absolutely.
But other things, like other reasons why your cash needs to be in multiple places. I've experienced this. Like there was a mix-up once with my business taxes, and I owed like a really, really small amount. It was like $300. I had an account with like $10,000 in it, they froze the entire $10,000 account over like a less than $1,000
right.
tax lien.
Yeah.
And what
errors
if
happen.
What if that was where all my money was at
yeah.
the time? Back in the day, like when a brother was, you know, struggling a little bit as an entrepreneur, like I would sometimes just go to the ATM and take cash out because like, look, if some stuff hits my account, at least I know I can eat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm saying it's like the other day my daughter went to the beach with her girlfriends, you know, little girls' day out at the beach,
mm-hmm.
and I transferred money into her account so she could have some spending money, and mm-hmm. then I said, I knew we've had a lot of like wicked weather, like thunderstorms, and I was thinking about, yeah, what if what if you get stuck and you can't pay for anything electronically? So I gave her a couple of dollars cash.
Yeah.
And she's like, what is this for?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's in case of emergency. First of all, I expect all of my money back.
Yeah.
But if you get in a spot and you can't use your card or you can't cash app or whatever, scan something, you want to have that. And you know what she ended up using it on? Parking. They only took cash for parking.
Hey, cash ain't going out of style just yet.
Exactly.
Like, young people don't understand that. Like,
not
cash,
at all.
It was funny. A lot of times people hit us up and they're like, hey, I'm worried about the devaluation of the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, are you planning to live in another country that doesn't take the dollar?
Right.
They're like, maybe I should buy gold. Like, could you imagine an emergency and you're trying to lug a big suitcase full of gold to go buy some food? Like, gold is not a great way to exchange. It's not a medium of exchange. So cash is still king.
Mm-hmm.
I always have at least, I hope I don't get robbed off this, or queen. Mm-hmm. I hope I don't get robbed off this. I always have at least $100 cash on me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is for tipping. Like, I tip. I'm a tip guy. Like, I tip a lot. So I usually have fives and ones. I give to the homeless or less fortunate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes these jokers be like, having Cash App now.
Help a brother out.
Yeah. And here's my Cash App.
Right. Yeah.
But like, yo, so my pace for just day-to-day spending, I've got my debit card as my alternate. I have like my business debit card, plus I've got my personal debit card. Like, my wife and I have kind of a joint account. Then I've got my own. She's got her own.
Yeah.
We both individually got our own credit cards.
Yep.
Business credit cards. I've got Apple Pay. So like
I'm severely understating the banks that I do business with. Those are like my primary, but
you're good.
You know, we have banks associated with our investment firms. You know, it's a lot.
The thing is, like, you're not getting caught out there, like,
no,
with a single point of failure.
I'm not trying to.
I've got Apple Pay. Some people have Samsung Pay on their phones. Mm-hmm. That comes in handy. Like, I've misplaced. I'm literally misplaced my wallet at home every weekend. So Monday morning, I'm always like, where's my wallet? Like, my wallet and my AirPods every Monday morning is a struggle.
You don't have a system. You don't have a system.
You're right. I need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. We got to have our pace in place.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple banks, multiple types of cards. It doesn't all have to be with you at all times, but you need to, you know what I mean, have some diversity inside your wallet and some cash.
You need to know how to be able to get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny you talked about systems. Like, that was part of the list of things that you can do to make sure that you don't have a single point of failure. Routines.
Yep.
Right? You're leaving the crib. Check your pockets for designated important things.
Yep.
Maybe have a mnemonic device. Like, I've got one that I just made up today.
Let's hear it.
Okay, mine.
You already laughing.
Please help keep winning, G. I need my phone, my keys. Sorry. I need my... So please help keep winning, G. I need my phone, my headphones, my keys, my wallet, and my gum. I got to have gum with me at all times. One of my biggest fears outside of looking like Grady one day is having bad breath. Like, I can't get down like that. I have gum with me at all times.
But wait, it's the whole point of a mnemonic device is like easy to remember.
I know, but my things are all...
Please help keep winning, G. Okay. Yeah. If it worked, it's only weird if it doesn't work.
I just started it today.
It's only weird if it doesn't work.
So I really need this because, yo, I lost my cell phone last week. I've literally never lost my cell phone before.
You lost it? Like, you don't know where it is?
Yeah.
You didn't know where it is?
No, I know where it was, but it wasn't with me.
Okay.
I lost it, but in an Uber. So I was having one of these moments. I'm like...
You forgot it.
Sure.
Okay.
So I've had one of these moments where I'm
semantics.
I'm literally watching everybody glued to their phone, and I'm like... These people are missing life. I'm going to just put my phone down. I'm going to talk to the Uber driver. I'm going to look out the window.
Mm-hmm.
I go to get out the car. I'm like, thanks. Get my suitcase. I go inside to the Amtrak.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to board. And I'm like, let me just check the status of the train.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I done left my phone.
Mm-mm-mm.
And the phone is a big single point of failure for a lot of people. And
huge.
I didn't realize how much is
you
going
couldn't
through
even
that
contact
phone.
The Uber driver to be like, hey man.
Yeah.
Or ma'am.
Okay, here's all the things I couldn't do.
Person.
In those moments.
Mm-hmm.
My ticket is on my phone.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I knew I had the good sense to know I could go to the Amtrak counter. They printed a physical ticket for mm-hmm. me. I couldn't contact Uber to let them know.
Right.
I couldn't tell my wife that I caught my train or I'm running late or mm-hmm. whatever. But what's crazy, all my banking is linked to the phone.
Yeah.
Like, I had a number of wire transfers to approve, and they want to text my phone. I couldn't do it. Like,
the
I could log.
Code.
Even when I got on my computer, it's like I couldn't even do stuff
right.
because they.
You were stuck.
They sent it to the phone.
Yep.
So that phone is key. Your phone, by the way, should have a password on it because that makes it less usable if somebody
if
ever
someone
gets
finds it.
It.
Plus, going to the point of, you didn't describe it this way, but you're talking about the two-factor authentication mm-hmm. where you log into a site, but you also get a code sent to your phone.
Yeah.
You also need a backup for that so
Word.
That if
yeah.
you don't have your phone or the text code doesn't work, you can have an email to you.
Yeah.
For situations exactly like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's a fact. I mean, I will also say, be careful. Like, sometimes there's these little things that make life easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in your airline's account, you can link your credit card up there.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have the email that's associated with that airline account on some email account that you don't really check like that.
Yeah.
Unless you need it.
Right.
The other day, like, somebody got in my airline's account. They took all my airline miles and were buying flights all over the world.
What?
Because my credit card had been linked and I had a lot of miles. And I didn't notice because it's on an email account I barely use. Mm. I didn't notice until the stuff started showing up on my calendar.
Okay.
Flights to different parts of China.
Wow. So this is not associated with you leaving your phone behind. This was just something.
I've been hit up so much recently, unrelated.
Yeah.
Somebody got into my United Airlines account.
Dang.
Took all my miles. I got them back.
Yeah.
But they sent me a slick letter like, look, this time we're going to give you your miles back. But you got to be more careful, bro.
Wow.
Single point of failure.
Mm.
Other stuff. What about your important documents?
Yeah.
What's your backup plan on that?
Physical documents, 2 sets, 1 in the safe in the house,
mm-hmm.
and 1 somewhere else.
That's how you do it?
This is when we need the video version of the podcast. I'm like, that's how
you're supposed to do it.
That's how you're supposed to do
that's
it.
That's how I envision
that's
it.
That's the plan. That is the plan.
Yeah.
They are in a safe in the house, but. Yeah. There's not a backup, so.
What's the password to the safe? Can you tell us?
So what's funny about that is my husband is bent on this password keeper that's on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
I have the same app.
Yeah.
So you literally can record all your passwords.
Yeah.
I forgot the password to the password keeper.
Lord.
But I told him, I said, you need to be the keeper of my password for my password keeper. So if I forget.
Mm. You know what this sounds like? Microsoft blaming CrowdStrike and CrowdStrike blaming Microsoft.
Perhaps.
You created a single point of failure on the one thing that was supposed to protect you from points of failure.
Absolutely. But yeah. I haven't used it in so long. Most of those passwords are probably outdated.
Yeah.
But I can't get into the app because I don't remember the password.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
But he was supposed to keep mine, and I was supposed to keep his. I have his password. I know his password to his password.
So you did your part.
I did my part.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm the single point of failure.
I will say, like, a lot of times, you may not remember your password because now your phone makes it easy. Like, hey, you want me to remember that for you? Like, yeah, sure.
Facts.
Now you don't have your phone. You don't know none of those passwords.
Can't remember.
Like, yeah, I have a password place. I won't tell y'all in case y'all take my phone from me, but I have a password place and it's in my phone. And when I don't have my phone, I don't have any of my passwords.
Same.
Facts.
I have passwords coded so that if someone did take my phone and get to where I have the passwords, like, you have to really think about what it is, which also means I have passwords that I'm looking at and I'm like I have no idea what this is for. Like, it made sense at the time, but.
But here's the thing I hate about passwords. Like, I understand the need for, like, the 12-digit password that has the symbols and the numbers and upper and lower. When is something that matters?
When is something that matters?
Like, when is my credit card? Sure.
Yes.
When it's like the rewards program at Krispy Kreme Donuts?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do I have to have this complicated password?
It's not important. Like Moe's.
I love Krispy Kreme. I like Moe's. Okay.
Yep.
It ain't that. It's not a matter of national security. I'm gonna just put it like that.
But it's like, oh, you need to update. You need to update your password. It's been 90 days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really?
Really?
For Taco Tuesday? Come on, man.
Yo, so what should you be doing with your important documents? So something like a will, for example, your estate documents, you've got to have physical copies, but also give them to some other people. Give copies to your lawyer. Give copies to your financial advisor. We have a wonderful client down in South Carolina who I love, who always threatens that if things don't work out in her personal finances, that she's going to come and live in my basement. And but she doesn't have any kids, so she sends me all her stuff, like her will, her medical directives.
Yeah.
We have a copy of them. If anything happens, she's also said, look, my nephew, here's my nephew's contact information. If anything happens to me, if you can't get in touch with me, this is who you should reach out to.
Everybody needs that.
Yeah.
Other person, other place, other channel, platform in their lives.
And somebody should have like your most intimate passwords, like your social media, your cell phone.
Truth. Yeah.
You know, like somebody should have it.
Yep.
Now, they might also need some instructions on what to do, right? All right, look, erase this. Make sure nobody sees that. But I'm saying, like, these are things, like, if God forbid something happens and it can't be accessed by you, then someone needs to be able to get into some of those places.
Yeah, that's important stuff. I mean, some people use social media as part of their livelihood. That's how they make money. If they're an influencer or they, you know, promote or market heavily on social media. But, you know, you wouldn't want someone that you don't know out there posting things or spreading a narrative that doesn't align with who you are, your values. So it is a security issue if you can't do that.
Absolutely. Other stuff. What about your income? Isn't your income a single point of failure for a lot of people? Like if I can't work this job or if I'm living check to check.
Yeah.
It's a big time single point of failure if you lose your job.
Yeah.
So that's why we talk about
multiple income streams.
Multiple income streams, emergency savings, disability insurance. We've done umpteen shows on that.
Yep.
Life insurance.
That was during our sad phase.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to introduce you dramatically. That's why we had to go
with the drama. Is that what we did?
Yeah, okay. We had to go with the drama in the beginning. You got to diversify your income sources. And one of the ways to do that is having skills that allow you to have some side things. Like one of my good friends, she went to college for political science and she was working in that field, but she always knew how to do hair. Like she now runs a very successful hair salon.
I'm not mad.
She has multiple stylists that work for her, and she teaches women how to put themselves in business in the hair care business, whether it be a full-time or a side thing. But like a lot of us have multiple skills, multiple things we could be doing to make money, and we got to be doing it to make sure that that 9-to-5 job is not a single point of failure.
Absolutely. So in your, before you were an entrepreneur, or maybe you've always been an entrepreneur, I feel like you've always been an entrepreneur. Were you that guy, like, promoting
mostly,
parties and stuff?
I took a little break, but I was mostly an entrepreneur my whole life.
Did you ever consider, like, when you were in corporate or you were on Wall Street and you knew things were going down, you're like, start thinking about, what am I going to do if I get the box or the pink slip or
you know what's
however
crazy?
They do it?
My mind just...
Never went there?
I just thought about where else I would work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I also just never thought that it was going to happen to me. Like, I saw people getting clipped left and right, especially in 2008.
Yeah.
And I don't know. My mind never went there. I did think, like, hey, if they were foolish enough to let me go, I know that I've got relationships at these companies.
Yeah.
You know, because we used to get, when you're at a place like Goldman or Merrill Lynch, you get headhunters that call you all the time. Mm-hmm. So I kind of knew who else was hiring, and I tested the market a couple times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah. I always thought about what I would do if those opportunities dried up.
Yeah. What was on your list? What would you do?
So the first thing I said I would do, is, especially when my children were younger.
Yeah.
And it was really critical, like we needed two incomes to do what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I would need something flexible enough that allowed me to take care of them so we wouldn't have the daycare expense.
Yeah.
So I was going to take a H&R Block tax class. And I was going to do taxes.
That's a great one. I did taxes on the side for a long time.
I could do that. I know.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I'm like, well, I can do that while they're in school.
Yeah.
Or not and do that at night. I just knew it was another way to generate income if we needed it.
I always did have one final one. I have a lot of different ideas I would do if I had to.
But I would also watch other children for other women executives because I felt like I knew what they would need or what they would hope to have.
That's a good one. My final one, if all my side hustle ideas didn't work, I would paint myself gold and stand in Times Square and beg for money.
A golden mine?
Yes.
You were just going to stand there as a statue? You didn't have shtick?
I would pop lock if I needed to, but just being in pure gold is working for a lot of these guys.
Okay.
So that was my contingency plan. So we're talking about single points of failure and avoiding them in your financial life. We're going to go to break and we'll come back. We'll wrap it up.
All right.
I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
We are the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So we're back.
I got nothing.
Come on. You had the good one last time. We back. We back. We back. You know I'm back. You ugly. You ugly. Come on. What is it? You got something?
I have nothing.
We are back. Okay, Whitney Houston, I have nothing.
And okay. I knew it as soon as I said it. I'm like, damn.
He got me. So we're talking about single points of failure. We're trying to learn from that Microsoft debacle.
Yes.
Because they had people in a chokehold all over the world.
It was not a good day. It's going to be a long weekend for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. What's funny is there's some people in the hot seat at these companies. They got to answer to the government and
each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if this happened to you, I don't think your bills are going to care if your account can't be accessed at this time.
Do not care.
I don't think your stomach is going to care if you need to buy food and you can't. So
won't care.
That's the stuff we're talking about today. Yep. So we talked about a lot of different things. Let's get into these investments for a minute because we definitely know that investments can be a point of failure if not managed properly.
Mm-hmm. So we need multiple accounts.
Yeah.
We do this thing often where we'll talk to people about all the different accounts you need and how to prioritize them. But you need a variety of different types of accounts because they work differently. They're taxed differently.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might hear this and think we're talking about diversification. I'm going to have this account over here and I'm going to have this account over there. There is some benefit to that, but that's not really what we're focused on right now. We're talking about
account titles, account types.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So you got your 401ks. That's your retirement that you're hopefully contributing to.
Better be.
Wherever you're working currently.
Or we going to fight otherwise.
What you going to do? What you going to do?
Don't find out. Okay. Listener.
That sounds like a song. I was waiting for something to drop, but not this time. So there's your 401k, your Roth, another type of retirement account. your brokerage account.
Mm-hmm.
Some money that's invested that's not tied to your retirement.
Yeah, that you can touch.
That you can touch.
Before 59 and a half.
Before 59 and a half, before 55, before you retire, you got some flexibility on what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Health savings account. IRA, yeah. Another type of retirement account. You just need some variety because they work differently, they're taxed differently, and you're able to access them at different times.
I will tell you, my brokerage account is also a big part of my contingency plan, money-wise.
Sure.
So if I'm in a financial bind, I know I can borrow against my investments at a really low rate, mm-hmm. and I do it all the time. So paying for tuition.
Yep.
Like, I didn't want to sell all my investments, and so I took a little margin loan.
Yep.
And then I paid it back when my money came in.
Yep.
You know, and the margin is just one of those features you can add to a brokerage account to just give you some additional wiggle room. It's like having a credit card that is secured because it's secured by your investments.
Absolutely. Even at one of my banks that I mentioned, I have a line of credit. And it's just, I just use it as a bridge mm-hmm. if the cash flow is not flowing.
Yep.
You know, it's no secret. Most of us here, we get paid quarterly. So sometimes that last week or two
before
payroll hits for the quarter,
it's bleak.
I'm like, yeah, I know how much is coming, but it's not here yet.
Yeah.
So I can tap into that line of credit and use it as a bridge and then pay for it.
Yeah.
Cover it back when I get paid.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
You're your own rich uncle, Andrea.
Right.
You got to be that.
Yep. I'm not the money-making machine that Alan Boomer is yet, so.
Whatever.
You know.
Other ways you got to be worried about single points of failure, just by being diversified?
Yeah. You don't want all the same type of investments.
Yeah.
That and behave the same way.
That's right. Like, we were with a client who's got a big single stock position. He's got, like, millions of dollars in this one stock. And he's like, hey, I need to diversify into other stocks. Like, no, bro, you got to diversify into bonds, like into something that's going to behave very differently than stocks. It's like, no matter if you're in one or 20, all stocks are tied to the economy.
Yeah.
But you'd rather be in 20 than be in one.
For sure.
Yeah.
So he wasn't wrong. He just wasn't
all that right. And then there's other stuff besides stocks and bonds. You've got real estate. Like, I think we've advised folks, most folks should be aiming to own a home at some point in their life.
Yeah. You want something that's not, I mean, we say it professionally as not correlated to the markets, but you want stuff that's not going to behave the same way.
Yeah. And then there's other alternatives you could have in your account. We'll talk about in more depth at some point in the future, but all of our clients own hedge funds and we'll break down what that means one day. One day. Yeah. In the future.
Thought I heard a song coming.
I'm thinking now you got me singing gospel. One day, I'm going where Jesus is. One day. You really don't know this song?
I don't know
I'm going where Jesus is. Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm a little churchier than you.
Maybe I do know it, but hadn't heard it in a long time.
Okay. Other things you've got to diversify, your account titles. So this, what this means when I say account titles, we talked about the types of accounts, but who's named on the account?
Right.
Do you have beneficiaries named on your account?
Right.
Did you know you can add beneficiaries to your regular checking account, your regular savings account, your regular brokerage account, just like you've got beneficiaries on your IRA and your 401k?
Yeah. And you might want to check them out every now and then and make sure that you've updated them.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that money is going to people you intended for it to go to.
Facts.
And not like your former spouse or...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your best friend that you don't talk to anymore.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yep. That's a fact.
Yeah. That's a different topic, but.
I've seen a lot of people open joint accounts with someone, like a parent and a child, like an adult child. Mm-hmm. They'll have a joint account just in case something happens.
Yeah.
That's another, you know, another way to do it.
Yeah.
Other things, single points of failure. So we talked earlier, you mentioned, Andrea, like some people probably think not having all your eggs in one basket means I need multiple financial firms for my investments. Like, this is one of those times where I'm going to differ from everything we've been saying this whole day.
Yeah.
We actually think it's better to have your investments in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to look at us like, why would you say that? There's a lot of benefits to having your investments, like certain things like your insurance and your investments. There's a lot of scale from being in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the investments first. Often you get fee discounts by having a lot of volume of assets at a particular place.
Yeah. just the firm, the advisor is able to be more efficient about what they can offer you. We could get into the details of share classes and all that and what that means, but there's just some cost savings from having all of your assets in one place.
There's also the visibility of knowing where your stuff is.
Yes.
Having accounts, investment accounts at 7 different firms is not helpful in the event that something happens to you. Now your family's like the movie Memento, trying to figure out where the pieces are.
Yeah.
Insurance is one of those things that you really benefit from it being in one place. And that's because you can have coordinated coverage.
Yes.
You could have like an umbrella coverage that picks up where your homeowner's leaves off.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you can't buy an umbrella if you don't have your homeowner's policy at that place.
That's right. So it's very simply stated, it's multiple policy discounts. So you have multiple types of coverage all at one carrier.
Yeah. And then finally, you might be saying to yourself, well, Alan and Andrea, I like everything you've said, but I'm not still comfortable with all my investments being in one place. Let's talk a little bit about the single point of failure risk at Momentum Advisors for a moment. Because this is something that early on, I got this question a lot, especially when I was a one-man shop.
Yeah.
And as we've grown, we've made sure that we put more and more contingencies in place over time.
Sure.
I want to talk about some of the things that we've done in our business to make sure that our investment business is safe for our clients.
Yep.
So number one, our firm has multiple leaders.
Yep.
We've got partners, we've got managing directors, we've got people who can do multiple things that aren't all relying on one person.
Right.
Number two, each one of our clients deals with a team of people. It's always more than one person they have access to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not all advisors. Maybe sometimes they're support staff. Yeah. But we make sure that if, God forbid, something happens to someone, that there is someone that also knows that particular client.
Yeah, or even just not available because we are meeting with another client or we are required to maintain a lot of continuing education. So we might be at a conference learning about something. So you just want to know that you can call on somebody to get stuff done.
Number three, we use third-party custodial banks.
Yep.
That's a big safekeeping thing.
Absolutely.
Like your money is not in a vault owned by Alan Boomer and Andrea Gray.
We don't actually touch your money. We don't have physical possession of your money.
Your money's sitting at a reputable third-party bank where, God forbid, if something happens to either one of us or our entire firm, your money is over there in that bank. You could even call up the bank and say, hey, I want to fire Alan and Andrea from my account.
Mm-hmm.
And your stuff is safe.
We hope you don't do that.
Yeah,
though.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
That would be foolish.
Yeah. That wouldn't be wise.
You'd be wilding at that point. Okay? But you could. You could do that. You also get your statements directly from them. This is what happened with Madoff. He was writing up his own statements.
Crazy.
And nobody was checking him on that.
Right.
He was doing his own trading and his own clearing and making his own statements. And so having a third-party firm that's holding the assets is an area of safekeeping that eliminates that single point of failure risk.
Yeah. This came up a lot. I guess it was about a year ago when you had some of the regional banks and Silicon Valley Bank failed. I was getting a lot of questions about bank safety and asset safety and explaining to people about the different insurances that are in place. I know we're going to talk about that. But it came up again at a critical time because that was such a big spook to the in the media and just to people in general.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The custodial banks that we use are very well capitalized. They're household names. They've got trillions of dollars in assets. Also, these banks participate in federal insurance programs like SIPC, which is
Security Investors Protection Corporation.
And that protects accounts from theft up to $500,000 per account. And the banks that we use participate in the FDIC, which insures up to
$250,000 per depositor per account type.
In addition to that, the banks have gone out and bought insurance, and then Momentum has gone out and bought insurance.
Yep.
Errors and omissions insurance to make sure that we are protecting our clients in case anything ever happens. And then we also went out and bought life insurance on all the directors and partners of the firm. And then finally, like, we have a physical place of business. Like, you know where to find us. Like, we are on the podcast world. Like,
yeah.
You could show up at our office address.
Like, we have real offices in real places that have doors and windows and desks and computers.
Yeah. So to that point, and we have multiple offices, and we've got our own contingency plan of if one office doesn't work, how do we get the other one up and running? Like, so all this to say, you need to make sure you've got redundancy emergency contingency plans in your personal financial life, and you've got to make sure the people and companies you're doing business with have also taken some of those same measures. Yeah. And ask questions about it. Don't wait until the emergency to find out what the contingency plan is.
Right, because you just stuck.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
So don't be like Microsoft. Okay? Don't be like CrowdStrike.
Microsoft is not all bad. And CrowdStrike is not all bad.
Fine. Big shot. I have a bunch
You don't want to make the kind of money they made?
They do well. I have a bunch of friends that work at Microsoft. They do really well. Mm-hmm. I'm a shareholder myself.
I'm going to check on my Microsoft employee friends.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm throwing a lot of shade their way this week.
I bet that you would.
And it is deserved.
Yep. I'm still going to check on them. You okay today?
Yeah. And I'm going to give them some grace, too, because everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not as colossal as these, but.
This is the biggest IT disruption in the history of IT disruptions.
Okay.
So some media person said.
Yeah. Keep listening. We'll be back next week. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.